suddenly, from everywhere, the Secret Service, all looking like Dick Tracy in black, hurriedly boarded the bus, lifted us to our feet, and ushered us off the vehicle and into a steady, beating rain. Our very best award ceremony clothes becoming soggy. We waved weakly toward the receding bus, speeding the truly deserving to glory. Then we trudged along the road in squishy shoes, hoping to thumb a ride back from ignominy.
No, Ossie, that's not what really happened. That's what we were thinking. The truth is that the dog barely noticed us, let alone bared his canines. But that story, that lie, gives us an excuse, a good reason, to write this joint life tale.
We have never been, to our knowledge, guilty of anything other than being black that might upset anybody. But perhaps the time has come to set the record straight, to prove to the president's dog at least that our lives were indeed forged in danger, struggle, and escape, and rate more than a cursory sniff. Ruby and I see you're ready to testify, sir, standing by in the dock. Well, the spirit of Senator McCarthy might very well be saying, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. Swear them suckers in.
Before we met, Ruby is born at 7. I remember consciously acknowledging myself, the fact of myself as a girl and a part of a family, as I stood alone facing the window in apartment 24. I was wearing a brown dress, and I had been looking at my hands because just a few minutes before in the kitchen, my mother was explaining to a neighbor, Marie Taylor, who was rubbing some cream on them, that as I got older, my hands would probably get softer and smoother. Yeah, Miss Taylor said, children with these kind of dried-out, wrinkly hands are old souls, you know, come back with work to do. If you're a woman, don't care what kind of hands, you got work to do, Mother said. They laughed as Miss Taylor screwed the lid back on the jar and rubbed her own hands as if putting on gloves. I felt bad about my hands. My mother and Miss Taylor had pretty hands. Mine were ugly. I put the incident out of my mind. Standing looking out of the window, I announced out loud, I am 7 years old. I am 7 years old. A kind of excitement came over me. Since that realization, snatches and bits of life before age 7 crop up in my mind but are unclear. I'm plagued by long gaps of unremembered years, fuzzy focus, and doubts about even my strengths. I believe deeply, however, that each generation must share some of its experiences with the next generation. I tell myself that it is time to find focus, get solid, and to be a fully conscious traveler on this trip that doesn't repeat. I almost didn't get to make the trip. It was the third pregnancy for the teenagers, my parents. Two of us had already been born, a boy when my father was 17 years old and my mother 15, a girl 11 months later. And now this. What, again? Everybody had a remedy. Potions, lotions, oils, and prayers. Everything ever heard of short of knitting needles was applied to the condition, but I came anyway. Within a year of my birth, Gladys found religion. She left her husband and her brood to follow a preacher man, a way-shower to glory, forgiveness, and salvation. Grandma Wallace introduced my father to his next wife, Emma Amelia Benson. Emma always said her heart went out to this young man with his 3 children. Having grown up on a farm riding horses all her life, her insides were severely damaged, but she wanted children. I married your father for the sake of you children. She would repeat that for many years. Emma Amelia Benson had gone to Atlanta University and had studied under W.E.B. Du Bois, one of the nation's greatest philosophers and historians. She had been a teacher and had saved money to continue her studies at Columbia University. With the money she had saved, she paid for his divorce, bought an apartment for $500 on 7th Avenue in a just-turning colored neighborhood, and sent for and married the man with the hope and expectation that he would finish high school and maybe go on to college. According to my sister Angelina, Grandma Wallace brought the babies Thomas Edward, aged 4, Angelina, 3, and Ruby, not quite 1, from Cleveland, Ohio, on a dark wood-paneled, chandeliered, and red velvet curtain train to New York, to the good woman Emma, to the good address, the Rangeley Court, 2347th Avenue in Harlem.